with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You may remain standing if you want. You can be seated. Just be free in that. We're going to sing an old hymn. It's not in our new hymnal. It was in the old, any of you remember the old purple hymnal? It was in the old purple hymnal, and it's an old Charles Wesley hymn, and I'm sad that they took it out. The language is a little bit archaic, but he's talking about through the blood of Jesus, through the cross and the resurrection, we can enter into that throne room, and we don't have to be ashamed. We're not condemned anymore, and it just talks about the just how we can be strong and go in with boldness before the throne. So we're going to sing this old hymn, Arise, My Soul, Arise. Rich is going to play a little bit of an introduction, so follow my cue on when we start singing. But let's sing and remember what Jesus has done for us. Arise, my soul, arise. Thank you. which I've done. I haven't probably studied every single one, but I took a seminary class on revival. It was the first class I ever took. And when you look at revivals, there is a return to the cross. And you see that in the Old Testament. There's a return to the Old Testament sacrifice. And they go back and they remember. And there are songs. There are songs that are born out of revivals. And this is one of them. This was a song. And you go back and you look what happened under the ministry of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. John Wesley got the, he was the one out front. But Charles Wesley, he was the preacher and the theologian that was writing. But Charles, his brother, was writing hymns. And they knew that if you want to know good theology and get it down in your bones, if you sing it, you're going to remember it. And this is one that if we get that song in our bones, man, that's what the cross did for us. We're bold. We can cry, Abba, Father, we are reconciled. So that's just a good song, good theology in that hymn. Pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that he died and he rose again and he's ascended into heaven. And Lord, all things are under your feet. Lord, you rule and you reign. And we remember that, Jesus. And we thank you that we can come into the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We thank you that you are a God who loves us. The cross always and forever says it, screams for all eternity, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. We thank you, Lord, that we are reconciled. And Lord, we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the blood. We thank you, God, that you're alive. And Lord, we just remember those that that are hurting this morning. God, we pray for Jason Endicott with 66 third-degree burns over his body. And God, we just ask healing upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, just help. And the pain that he's going through right now, Lord, we just speak peace, the shalom of God, and healing over Jason. Pray that the doctors and those that are caring for him, God, that they would have wisdom and they would have care. And Lord, we just pray for his skin, Lord, to be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Tracy Parsons with ALS. Jesus, we ask your mercy to be upon him. We ask your mercy, God. We ask your healing, Lord. As we read in Psalm 107, it says he sent his word and he healed them. And Lord, we thank you that you're the healer of all diseases, all things. Lord, there's nothing that's beyond your control. There's nothing beyond, Lord, your reach. And so, Lord, we ask your mercy. The ALS would stop progressing. And Lord, that you would just bring healing to Tracy in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Henry Emling that has had some breathing issues this week. He's okay now. But God, we just ask just complete restoration to Henry. Lord, that any developing asthma, God, we just ask healing upon his lungs. In the name of Jesus, we pray peace for Danielle and Jacob. And Lord, just bless. We thank you, God, for how far you've brought Henry. And Lord, we just thank you for him. And we pray that his lungs would be whole and healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our graduates, Victoria and Matthew that were mentioned, God, and all of our other graduates. Lord, we just bless them from, Lord, grade school on up to master's and beyond degrees. Lord, we just thank you for them. We pray you would bless them, that you would open doors for those, Lord, that are graduating high school, college, and Lord, remembering especially Matthew, who just got his MDiv. God, you'd open up doors of ministry for him, and Lord, you'd bless. And we just pray peace and wisdom upon all of our graduates, and we thank you for them. God, we thank you for grandchildren that got to visit this weekend, or past weekend, Lord, Dixie and Mike, and they got to see their grandbaby and daughter. Lord, we just thank you for that. What a gift. And Lord, we just give you all glory, all honor, all praise. Lord, we thank you for providing funds. Lord, I thank you for the kitchen. And for 6 years, Lord, they've been having Pie Day to raise money. And Lord, I thank you that's going to happen. And we just give you, we don't take that for granted. And Lord, we just bless the people that are going to be working in there, Lord, that they would do a good job. And Lord, that you just bless it. And thank you for this church. And Lord, how food and fellowship is a big deal here. And so Lord, just bless that. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Gordy Showalter. Jesus, we pray healing for that hip abscess. Lord, that wound would completely drain and be whole and healed so he can do the surgery, Lord, that needs to be done. that her liver enzymes would come into alignment so she could continue the treatment that she needs. I thank you, God, for her attitude. And Lord, we just pray continued peace on her and Jerry in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for good test results for Janet's brother. God, we ask healing on him in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Addie Darnell, who just, Lord, she's going through a lot with cancer treatment. And God, she just needs a touch from you. God, we just speak healing to Addie's body in Jesus' name. Restoration, God. Everything in her body to come into alignment. Her organs, Lord, to be strong. Father, bless Addie in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the situation in India. God, what's going on over there is horrible with COVID and then that fungus now, Lord, that's going on. It's horrible. And so, God, we just ask healing to be released over India. God, your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, they worship over there. Lord, just the things I've read this week are just, it's so sad. And Jesus, we just ask your healing and your mercy and a great turning to you. We pray, God, for a great turning to you in India and healing over that land in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for peace in Gaza. We pray peace in Israel. God, have mercy. Lord, your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we just pray peace. We pray wisdom over the leaders over there. God, help and have mercy in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you're a God who sees, that you're a God who hears. Thank you, Jesus, that you've triumphed. Paul writes in Ephesians, Lord, that because you have ascended, all things are under your feet. All things. And Lord, it doesn't feel like that sometimes. It doesn't look like that sometimes. But Lord, you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You're lot more about it last Sunday than I intended to. It just kind of flowed out. I warned you all when I got back on Facebook that I am a slow processor. I used to really hate that about myself. Something would happen, and like 3 weeks later, emotionally, like I would, you know, the impact would hit me, which is great when you go through like intense things. Not so great, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks later. So as I'm slowly processing these things, it's going to come out. And Jeannie was like, "People, you need to share." And so I've heard that. I'm praying about that. But man, it's just. I felt great when I came home, and then my cat died, and one of them, and because I have two, and my oldest one died. And this week I've just been exhausted. I've hit a wall. Which is normal because I've only been home for 2 weeks, so I'm still very much processing that. But if you missed last week and you want to hear, go back and listen to last week, because I shared a lot, and I've been posting stuff on Facebook. I'll continue to do that. I've tried to send what I post on Facebook, the pictures, and it won't do that, which is stupid. So if somebody has more tech things than I do and can help me, like, I try to send the pictures and it won't send, so that's frustrating. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate that. And because I did great physically, I did great. It was amazing. And again, I'm not going to get in there because I'll start rambling again, but thank you. There is more to come, I promise. As I prayed about today and what to share with you all today, I've had people reach out to me that are very dismayed with what's going on. And I think in the world, and I think Nare, our translator, has been sending us messages that when we were up north, we went up to a city called Goris. And last fall, when the Azerbaijan came and started invading Armenia, Goris was one of the cities that they were in. And we actually went to a church that had bullet holes, had been shot at. And she sent us a message, you know, that the troops are there again. They're coming down. And so that's very frightening. And so I've been getting those messages, and other people. And I've just been reminded this week, and it's no accident, it's a really good reminder. Today is Ascension Day. Next week is Pentecost. And what happened when Jesus ascended? And Paul fleshes it out in his letters. Psalm 2, if you haven't read Psalm 2 in a while, go and read Psalm 2. He's ascended. He sits in heaven, and it says he laughs in derision because he knows what is to come. The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed one. And you look at Scripture as a whole, and that Jesus ascended into heaven, it really does mean, you all, that he rules and reigns over all things. He rules and reigns over all things. And so I've been reminded about that this week, thinking about that. And I used to make fun of the disciples when I was when I first became a Christian and really started reading the Bible. Because you read in the Gospels, it's like, these guys are so dense. Like, why don't they get it? Are they stupid? You know, I used to kind of make fun of them. But as I've journeyed with Jesus, I'm a whole lot more like them than I thought I was. Because Jesus would tell them something, and they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. Why didn't they get it? I'm going to talk about that today. And I can say Jesus rules and reigns, and you might be sitting there thinking, no, not in my life. You don't know how crazy it is. April, have you watched the news recently? Nope, that's not true. Look at what's going on. And so how do we, there's kind of a dissonance there with what we see, what's going on, and what the Bible says. And so we're going to look at that today. Jesus had said repeatedly to the disciples that he was going to die and be raised again. He kept telling them that. And they were there. They heard it. But did they get it? No, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And so we can learn from them and situations. I'm just going to pull out four examples of somebody that when Jesus died and he rose again, they still couldn't comprehend it. And often what we go through. So I'm going to look at that this morning. And so, Father, I thank you, Jesus, that you're alive. And, Lord, sometimes, Lord, well, a lot of times, we think we're smarter than we really are. And we're arrogant and we're proud. And, Lord, I thank you for humbling me in my life. Lord, where I used to sit in mockery and judge the disciples, God, I'm just like them. And so, Lord, I pray in these stories today that we would see ourselves. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, where we can't see you because of the situations, Lord, in our lives, Lord, I just pray you would come. Holy Spirit, come. Anoint your word. Anoint me to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And, Lord, we need you. We need you. So Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, see him right now just kind of coming like and giving you a hug. Lord, I just pray you would come and just hug your people today. May we feel the warmth of your presence. Just come and embrace your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What are some things that keep us from seeing Jesus properly? If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to look in John chapter 20. Jesus has died, and he's just been raised from the dead. And so the disciples, they have encountered trauma. For 200 years in Christian history, this cross was not a symbol of Christianity. In Armenia, everywhere I looked, there were pomegranates everywhere. And pomegranates was a very early Christian symbol, as was the fish. Because the cross, that the whole thing of a crucifixion was so gruesome and so traumatic that it wasn't even a symbol until later, as we become far removed from the trauma and the gruesomeness of it. And so they saw him die. They had been with him for 3 years, and they saw the gross, the gore of the TV and even scripture. Not scripture, but as it's dramatized, Jesus hung naked on a cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. He had been whipped. He had a crown of thorns on his head. It was gruesome, and it was horrible, and they watched it. They watched it. And so it was so, and they had all these hopes. They had all these dreams. They had all these expectations that were completely shattered. And some of you know what it's like to have your dreams shattered, don't you? You know what it's like to have these expectations, and you want something glorious to happen, and you're disappointed. And that's where the disciples are. They're in trauma, and they've seen just, what, Lord, what is going on? This wasn't what we expected. John chapter 20. What can keep us from seeing Jesus properly? I'm going to go back and just read verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look in, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. You all, when we undergo trauma, when we are in deep, 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 deep grief, that can keep us from seeing Jesus properly. And I think probably I can say all of you, we've lost loved ones that we love, and it hurts, doesn't it? And we need the body of Christ. We need other people. We need that. We need it. And Mary Magdalene was so overwhelmed with grief. She had come to the tomb to do the last thing she could do for Jesus because he was buried in haste. And so she came to anoint his body. It was the last loving thing she could do for him. And she was disappointed. And she was broken because he's not there. And so she's so stuck in her grief and in her trauma, it blinds her to Jesus. She can't see because of her own disappointment. She did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." When we're grieving and we don't see Jesus properly, we make wrong assumptions. Jesus was there the whole time, but she can't comprehend that. Grief and trauma has clouded her vision. She thinks he's the gardener. He's right there, but she doesn't see him. "Sir, if you carry him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni." When we are in grief and we're in trauma and we can't see Jesus properly, it was Jesus coming and he spoke her name. He spoke her name. Charles Wesley wrote in that hymn, "His name is written, our name is written on his hands." As Jesus suffered the unsufferable, he bled there for you and me. And his name is written on, our name is written in Jesus' hands and on his scars. And he comes and he speaks her name, Mary. And he comes and he speaks your name, Danny, Janet, Eleanor, Susan, Mary, Nancy. He comes and he speaks your name. And we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. If your eyes are clouded, your spiritual eyes are clouded because of grief, say, "Jesus, I want to see you rightly. I want to hear you speak my name." And get quiet, you all. You'll hear him speak. You'll hear him. Don't let trauma and grief, and it will. It will come. But know that he's there. Mary couldn't see because of grief and trauma. You just keep going. That same evening, John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, what else can keep us from seeing Jesus rightly? On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Okay? Mary had gone and told them. Peter and John had seen it. They had told the other brothers. But it was still so amazing and so shocking. And the trauma of what they'd just been through. They're like, "How can this be possible?" And so they're afraid of the Jews. Jesus had died at the hands of the leaders there in that area. And so the disciples are afraid. And they're together, even though they've heard that Jesus is alive. They've heard it. And yet, they're locked in a room. You all, fear can keep us from seeing Jesus rightly. When we are afraid and all we're looking at are things in the horizontal, and we're just looking at this, and we're going to look at another story about that. It's in there twice. We have to be really, really careful that we're not overwhelmed by, and our emotions oftentimes can get out of control. We've all dealt with fear, haven't we? I shared. I wasn't going to go to Armenia. I was asked by Joel Tenney. I had done a couple broadcasts with Josh Atkins, and Joel was on there on King's Television ministering to India, actually. And we did that about a year ago, and I met Joel. And Joel had asked me, I don't remember, example, I'm going to Armenia. Would you pray about going? I was like, yeah, I'll pray about it. And I meant it. I'll pray. But I had no intent of going. None. But as I started to pray about it, the Lord started speaking to me about it. I don't want to do that, God. I had 100 really good reasons not to go. I was afraid. I was afraid of lymphedema. I have issues that the Lord is healing. He's healing me, but it's a process. But the warning is with lymphedema is, well, if you fly in a long-haul flights, it could progress and make it worse. Like, I don't want to swell up all over my body. I don't want to have a huge, you know, leg this big. I don't want to do that. And so I was afraid. What does the enemy do? When we're afraid of something, he'll come and just blow it up in our mind. And so I was dreaming about it. I mean, I would have, and I tend not to fly well. I get motion sick. You all, I had dreams for about 2 weeks where I would be sleeping, and I would be on the flight, and I would get sick, and I would literally wake up motion sick because I'd been dreaming about it. I'm like, this is stupid. This isn't even real. But the enemy was taking my fears, and he was blowing them up. And so I had people start praying for me. I'm like, pray for me. I started praying over my mind, praying over my bed before I slept. God, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. But the fear was real, and it kept getting blown up. And when we take that seed of fear, the enemy will come, and he will plant things in our mind that, you know, and then it's just, if we take it and we own it, it can just blow up. So we're just terrified, and we're afraid, and we start living in this fear. And the disciples, did they have reason to be afraid? The rulers had killed Jesus. So yeah, in a way they did. But Jesus had warned them, he told them, but they couldn't believe it because of how they felt. And Jesus comes in the midst of our fears, and what does he do? They're afraid. They're locked. They're locked in that room. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace, peace, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. So I'm battling with fear. And I finally had to come to the point, like, Lord, I'm either going to trust you, because I had other people praying for me. I was praying. I felt like, all right, Lord, you're calling me to go. You're either who you say you are, and I can trust you, or you're not. And so I had to make a conscious choice. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And did I still feel afraid? Yeah, there were times when I said, well, Lord, give me a word. I'm going to trust you. And you all, when I came home, we had a 19-hour layover in Doha, Qatar. And we had left at 3 a.m. in the morning in Armenia. So we'd gotten to the airport at like 8 that night because our flight was supposed to leave at 1. It got postponed to 3. And we had a 5-hour flight to Doha, then a 19-hour layover, and then a 14-hour flight to Chicago. And then we had to wait 5 hours and then fly. It wasn't quite 5, but then fly home. And I'm in compression garments. I'm in tape. You know, you're supposed to move with all of that stuff on. You're supposed to drink a lot of water. You're not supposed to have a lot of salt. So how do you do that when you fly, you know? So I was like, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. When I came home and I started taking off all my stuff, y'all, my body was almost perfect. God was faithful. All that the enemy had tried to blow up in my mind, all of that was lies. He was faithful. He was faithful. When we are afraid and the enemy comes in like a flood, have to stand on the word and say, Jesus, I need you. And he came and he said, peace. chapter 24. This again is the evening of Jesus's resurrection. Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened?" Isn't that hilarious? Jesus is right there. He's like talking to Jesus. He doesn't know it. "Don't you know?" And he starts recounting all of the things that had happened. One of the things that I take out, and there's so much here in this story, but one of the things that was highlighted to me just this week as I've been meditating on this and thinking and praying through it is one thing that can cloud our vision of Jesus is our own mind and thinking about things, again, on the horizontal. They were thinking about it. They were discussing it. They were trying to make sense of it. And so often when we do that without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, what happens to us? We're like tops running around. Have you ever been that way? You're trying to reason something out. You're trying to figure something out. What's going on and what's happening? And it just feels like you're in this vicious circle because it just doesn't make sense. And that's what can happen to us when we just get stuck in our own heads and we try to reason it all out in the natural, when we're just looking at it from what we see here on this plane. And that's what has happened. They were trying to figure it out and they couldn't make sense of it. Jesus comes right along beside them and they don't see him. And yet what's beautiful in this story is Cleopas starts telling Jesus what's going on. And we need to quit talking oftentimes when we get in that state. We need to quit talking to one another. We need to turn off the TV, turn it all off, and we need to start talking to Jesus. We need to tell him about our stuff. We need to tell him about what we're thinking. We need to tell him. And that's what Cleopas does, and he lays it all out. And then what does Jesus do? Verse 25 of Luke 24. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself." He took their eyes, he took their minds off of their own head, what they were thinking, what they were discussing, and he brought them back to the scriptures. He brought them back to the word. There's a lot that can be said right now. We could talk about all kinds of different things, about what's going on in Israel, about what's going on in Jerusalem, about what's going on in our nation. We can talk all in this level, but we need to come back to the word of God. God, what do you say? What does the scripture say? And quit looking here and look here. From the horizontal to the vertical. God, what does your word say? What do you say? And they needed Jesus to come and interpret the scriptures for them. Jesus told the disciples, "It's better if I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth." When we come and we hear the word of the Lord, and I hope every single day you're sitting down with your Bible and saying, "Holy," he will come. He will teach you. He will speak to you. This is the living word of God. If we're only looking at the world through our lens of trauma, through our lens of grief, through our lens of fear, through our lens of the news of what's going on, what are we going to be like? We're going to be hopeless. We're going to be angry. And we're not going to have any fruit of Holy Spirit at all. Because we're going to be running around like a little top, all anxious, all afraid, all agitated. How do we see Jesus rightly? Sucked into all of these other things. And yes, we're going to experience trauma. Yes, we're going to experience grief. Yes, we're going to experience fear. Yes, we're going to be hearing all kinds of things. But we need to take the time to spend alone with Jesus, get grounded and rooted in the Word of God. What kept Peter from recognizing Jesus? I want to flip over to John chapter 21. Peter had failed. He had failed miserably. He had betrayed Jesus. He had fallen further than he ever thought he had fallen. And he had seen Jesus. He knew he was resurrected. But there was still that sense of failure. That sense of, he betrayed Jesus. John chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Peter, the twin, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were able to haul it in. They were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter needed his friend to point out that it was Jesus. Sometimes our failures keep us from seeing Jesus rightly. But Jesus comes to Peter and he reconciles him. And he brings him back. And he brings him back into fellowship. Y'all, it's really, really, really important that in these days that we see Jesus rightly. As Abby and I were praying here on Wednesday morning, I just had a phrase of healing of the sin-sick soul. Just had that phrase. I knew it was a hymn, and I didn't know what it was, so I was Googling it, and it was the hymn, There is a Balm in Gilead. We're going to sing that hymn. I haven't sung that in years. You may not have sung it in years either, but there is a healing that Jesus can do. Not only does Jesus save us of our sins, but you all, Isaiah 61, Jesus' first sermon, he gets up and he quotes Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives. His beauty for ashes. And so many of us just think Jesus is the Savior of our sins. And he is. It's beautiful. Psalm 103 says he heals all of our sins and he forgives all of our diseases. But you all, he also binds up the brokenhearted. And the Balm of Gilead, it's actually pretty interesting. You go back and read it. It's Jeremiah 8 and Jeremiah 46:11. It's kind of God's kind of mocking the people because they have fallen away. And God's saying to them, isn't there a balm in Gilead for you? Because in Gilead, there were spices and there was ointment and there was oil that would bring healing there, would bring healing. And God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah that you all, Israel, you have tried and you've run after so many different things to feel the void in your heart. And some of you know what that's like. We fill the void in our heart with things, with people, with pleasure. And we try to fill that void with other things other than Jesus. But Jesus can fill the deepest longings in our heart. I've sensed this for a while, and I've heard other people say it, and I've said it as well. I feel like where we are in our nation, and especially in the church in the United States, that God wants to blow up our boxes. That we put him in this little box. This is what worship is. This is what we do at church. And this is how we do it. And we're like little kids. This is how we do church. And Jesus wants to come, and he wants to blow up our boxes because he's way bigger than what we have made him to be. He's way more good. He's way more holy. He's way more, and he loves us so much that we put him in these little boxes. So my question to you this morning,
caught up that we're so, you know, we don't even know kind of what way is up because we're just like, what's going on? And we've totally lost our perspective. And in all of those things, we just say, Jesus, come. Help me to see you rightly. Maybe some of you have just fallen further than you've ever fallen than Peter, and you just can't see beyond your own failures. Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. There is a balm in Gilead. It's not a doctor. It's not a spice. It's not an essential oil. It's not a herb. The balm of Gilead is Jesus. And he can heal your broken heart. He can touch your deepest fears. He wants to bring healing. And he wants to bring discomfort to you. Let's just pray together. Lord, help me to see you rightly. Father, we do pray that. Lord, I thank you for my testimony, God, of how you delivered me from fear of going to Armenia. Lord, it's a miracle. And I just give you all glory and honor. And Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and Lord, all of us struggle on some level, the fear's going to come. But Lord, are we going to own it? Or are we going to trust you? So Father, I pray for those right now that are dealing with trauma, that are dealing with grief, and they can't see you rightly because of that, because of what's happened to them. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak their name. You would come right now, and they would hear you speak their name. Father, for those that are trapped in a room, and they've locked themselves in because of fear, thank you, Jesus, that you enter the room. And you say, peace be with you. And you can leave. I just speak peace to all of those who are shuddering in fear right now. And Lord, I thank you that you are, that Lord, you deliver from fear. You're a deliverer. And so Lord, I just speak deliverance right now to all that are afraid, struggle, anxiety. Lord, to those of us that have been stuck in the horizontal, and we've been reading a lot and trying to make sense of things in the horizontal, Father, forgive us for seeking knowledge rather than seeking you. And Lord, I pray that we would find truth in your word. Jesus, you had to direct them to Scripture, and they found you there. And then you revealed yourself in the breaking of bread. Father, I pray that we would encounter the living God. And may we look to you and you alone, and not look to the right or to the left. May we quit seeking answers in the horizontal, and may our eyes be fixed on you. Thank you that there is a balm in Gilead, that it's you. It's you. So healer, come. Savior, come. Comforter, come. As we sing this song, Lord, I pray we would be reminded that you do rule and reign, that you have ascended, that all things are under your feet. Comfort your people. Encourage your people. Give us hearts that are steadfast. And Lord, continue to blow up our boxes of what church is, of who you are. And Lord, where we don't see you rightly, I pray correction. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. Open our eyes to see you rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to, if you're able, please stand. We're going to sing There Is a Balm in Gilead. And just open up your heart to the Lord and just say, whatever it is, wherever you are, just say, Holy Spirit, come and let him comfort you. He's here and he wants to encourage you. And let's sing There Is a Balm in Gilead.